And here we go. Welcome into the Sunday Smash. Good times. Myself, there is Ira. He's happy. The Gray Fox is watching football with a red stripe. Here you go. I'm going to join you this week.
There
it's
we go.
Time to pop one, baby. Let's go. Here we go.
We're going back to the good stuff just because, hey, the football may stink, but we got to at least enjoy some good beer. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking an Oyster City, a Berliner Weiss here that they got that I've not tried yet. So I'm drinking one of these. I'm going to give it a go. I've got other varieties in the fridge, so we could do whatever we want to do here today, buddy.
If you had to pick one, like this is the one, because I know you're a variety guy with the beer, but if you had to pick one, what would it be? Can you say
one beer that I from Oyster City or anybody else?
Anybody.
I don't know, Ira. I do. You know, maybe when it's all said and done, I'm old school, and I'll just grab a Guinness. But I also love Two Hearted Ale. I'm a big Bell's Two Hearted guy, so that's good. Cigar City High Life, all that's good. You know, I've been contemplating what to drink for tonight's show since yesterday.
you passed on cyanide. Did cyanide come up, or did you just put that away right away? Fentanyl.
This is too good, man. I wondered about this, Ira. I wondered like what we would do today, because I think when you're this big of an unmitigated disaster, and there's this kind of, big picture. Problem. It doesn't do you any good to argue about personnel mistakes, of which the coaches make a lot of those. It doesn't do you a lot of good to talk about which coordinator you want fired, because I think a lot of people want a lot of guys fired right now. And then I don't know if it does you any good to go over individually. Like, for example, they made enough red zone mistakes in this game to last a lifetime. 20-20. If you just look at the plays, they were fine. Well, but
we could break down our favorite ones, really, of the last couple of weeks. But particularly,
hey, let's dial up the one where the kid who's borderline disabled runs the ball.
It's just funny because, like, and again, man, you know, we'll laugh about it because what else are you going to do? But I just don't understand how, you know, usually goal line is kind of like, what do we have that we know we can run? Like we're in goal line. We're in the red zone. This is our chance. We've got to run our best stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how in fourth and two is McKenzie running a design run, your best stuff? And then on the other side, you get first and goal at the goal line and a quarterback sneak with a kid who, again, when's the last time he ran a quarterback sneak in his life? I can't imagine they do too much. Anyway, it's just like, that's the kind of stuff that is from a fan base, because you can point to all the reasons they're not playing well. You can point to the offensive lineman, you know, Robert Scott being out, Maurice Smith being out for a second.
That's a big deal, by the way, not having those two guys.
It is. You can point to, you know, just different deficiencies and recruiting and where the program is. And there's a lot of things. But then when stuff like that happens, that's what you want to just – like if you could pull aside the coaching staff and say, that's the stuff, though – because even if you don't know how to coach, you just have common sense, and you can't. That doesn't make any sense, and that's what I think. It's just hard to. It's hard to process.
Yeah, it is hard to process. I do appreciate the donation right off the top here. Thank you very, very much. I don't know. I'm going blind. I can't even read that. Is that Silas Carpenter? Yes,
Silas Carpenter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Silas. Appreciate you a lot. We really do. Is that another defensive touchdown for the Bucs? Is that right? So anyhow, I got the NFL on in the background. I guess my point, Ira, as we kind of start the conversation, is there is a lot of they're not going to fire Mike Norvell. Okay, so just for the people that are going to want to repeat themselves time and again on that one, you're wasting your time. They can't fire Mike Norvell. I actually don't think they should, although he deserves a ton of criticism, a ton. But you start to try to find a path forward. You try to find a way to move forward. because that's all Florida State fans want now is, okay, well, we're here. I mean, it doesn't get worse than this. We're 0-3 and we've lost at home to Jacksonville State. We're tying numbers that go back to 1976. I mean, you've hit rock bottom. So what do you do? And I don't know what he does to salvage this class, because the whole thing is he's going to have better players. He's going to have to probably, I would say, if he's not already calling all the plays, he has to take that back over.
I mean, I would, on that topic real quick, and I figure we'll ask him about that tomorrow, and I hate to interrupt you, but
yeah.
I know that that's a big topic. But, you know, from watching, you know, it's hard to tell at home games because his back is to us.
Correct.
So we can't really see what he's saying or – but you know they were on the road, so they were on the other sideline and from the press box. And I don't think he's calling plays.
No, I don't think he was calling plays. You're correct.
So
you're correct, and he's going to have to, Ira.
Yeah, I mean, if your job's on the line, I'm not saying his job's on the line, but this program's on the line. The recruiting class is on the line, and I don't know. I'm not saying you know Kenny Dillingham can't do it, but if you're the head coach and you're an offensive guy, it seems like you would want to take that back over. You would think, right?
So, you know, when we see, yeah, without question, Ira, I think, by the way, he kind of gives clues. If you watch, you know, you're there, you ask the questions. I think he gives clues. Did you ask the question? I don't know if it was you or somebody else about how it was Mackenzie Milton ended up getting a carry at 4th and 2 there.
I asked him if it was a design or if he, because my question was maybe it was a play where he had an option to check to a run.
Right.
Out of, you know, what they were running. And he's like, no, it was a design run. And then he said, you know, that's something. This is like maybe the first time he's actually suggested.
It was a tell.
Something. Yeah. He said, we need to reflect on some things or something like that. Yeah.
No, it was a tell. What he basically said, I've become like you. I am now, you are the silver fox, the gray fox. Listen, you're the sideline guy. I'm a post-game press conference guy. I will break that shit down. I'm telling you right now. I watched him, and he wants to tell you the truth there, but he can't. He didn't want to roll his boy. But he thought it was an absurd call. Look at the reaction when you ask the question. He thinks it's an absurd call. And he just tries to give you an answer. And then he also, you know, he mumbles his way through, well, when Jordan Travis went out. Yeah. That's his way of saying, yeah, we shouldn't have fucking called that. I mean, that's kind of where he's at. And it's hard because you do not want to rip these coaches. You do not want to deflect leadership. And you have to wear that. You have to wear that because you allowed for that. And he's on the headset, Ira. He could have been like, "What? No. And I think we've already had a few of those this year. I go back. There's a couple of times where his reaction to a question regarding something that happened in the game reveals that he was displeased with his coordinator. And now it's one of those situations where do you do? Because you can't, as a good leader, you cannot get up there and say, my guy is rat trapping. My guy freaked out and got nervous and called something we should have never called. You can't say about Adam Fuller at the end of the game against Jacksonville State, well, it's preposterous that we were in that defense. And, you know, I take full responsibility, but you just have to wear all of it. And now
But the problem from a fan standpoint is they're so tired of hearing. I can't tell you how many people have told me in the last 24 hours, hey, man, tell him to stop telling us it's on him and he knows he's going to fix it. Like, you know, I saw somebody mention this on Twitter. It's like the first time, it might have been Tom or somebody, the first time, you know, the coaches say, I accept all responsibility. It's impressive. It's stand up, but when it happens repeatedly, then it just becomes hollow, and then you start wondering, okay, man, well, when is it going to happen? Like, why are we supposed to? Especially when it came on the heels of Willie, and you know the last couple of years of Jimbo, where you know, you're just hearing the same stuff over and over, and then people get mad every time they hear the coach talk.
I think the. I think in a situation like that, Ira, he is very aware of the fact that he has to take responsibility for where the program is at. You know, he's the head coach, and he's being paid handsomely to get this team to win. It's true, fans get tired of hearing it, but his default is to take responsibility, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah,
for sure. I think it's a good thing for your default to be the blame falls on me. But it, again, it begins to fall on deaf ears and people begin to just roll their eyes. But I'd rather hear that than him blaming players, especially college players. It's if in the NFL, it gets a little different. Guys are paid really well. And if they don't perform, you can, to some degree, you can certainly talk about that. It's much more difficult in college, you know, and I think that everybody wants to find whatever answer they think will solve all of this. They're not a good football team. They have real problems at a lot of positions. I'll just bring this up. I don't think they're very good at quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't think McKenzie can play. And I'm not real sure Jordan can either. And well, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, that's I would say this. I mean, there's a lot there. We can spend some time talking about the quarterbacks. I guess one, you know, these are all data points, as I think Tom likes to say, you've said. You know, this is 2 years in a row where they've invested a lot of time into a quarterback and really been excited about things they've said they've been excited about things they've seen, but then you don't see it on the field, you know, and I'm not, you know, I'm not saying they, of all the coaches that have been here over the last 5 years, this staff carries the least amount of responsibility about James Blackman, but they did try to make it work and they put in the time, and I guess you have to, but they didn't rush to go try to find somebody in the transfer portal. They decided not to do that. And they ride with James Blackman. They got hurt because Chuba got hurt in camp, and then Jordan wasn't available in camp, so they were stuck with James Blackman. But they had him for that year, and it was a COVID year, granted. But you know, nothing. It didn't get any better. And then now, this was a year where they spent the whole year really working with Jordan Travis and McKenzie Milton. And then, to your point, you know, they're not getting good play here. And I don't know. You know, again, I mean, one of the things I criticized Jimbo a lot for was not tailoring things to, you know, the quarterback. And, you know, you had Everett Golson, and I don't know if Everett Golson didn't want to run or what, but like why they ran that one option that was unbelievable. And then you just, that really wasn't a big part of what they did. You know, we thought EJ should have ran more. And, you know, are they trying to make Jordan into something he's not? And why, if not, then why couldn't they see that in practice? But now, his running isn't even there. Like, and I think Wake, I don't know if they spied him or what, but there's not even places for him to go as a runner. So it just feels like 2 years in a row where they've kind of mismanaged that position, which is the most important position on the team.
Yeah. And you can't get out for under things. You know, Ryan notes that a lot was made of the transfer class. And aside from Johnson, it's garbage. No offensive line pickups, no linebacker, took an early commit from a terrible wide receiver. I think you can criticize what they did in the transfer portal. Now that we're three games into this experiment, they did really well to get Jermaine Johnson. That's probably the best transfer portal pickup anybody got. I mean, Jesus, he's really good.
The challenge with evaluating the transfer portal, I think, is you. I mean, what are you going to get? I mean, you know, there's going to be some winners. There's going to be a lot of losers. There's reasons a lot of those guys are jumping the portal, and you're taking a gamble. I would say this, you know, they only signed 16 high school kids last year because they wanted to leave that space to go ahead with the transfers. And if they only hit on one or two or whatever it is, maybe two or three, I guess Dylan Gibbons has been okay. But if they only hit on two or three, then maybe you would have been better off saving those spots, because there weren't a lot of – everybody gets mad about the offensive line. They tried to get other offensive linemen. There weren't many good ones, and they couldn't get a couple of the good ones they did want. So it's not like they just chose to not go get offensive linemen. I do think they chose not to get linebackers, which is certainly something to criticize.
Yeah, it's problematic. That's not a real talented position, and it hasn't been for some time, and that is hard to imagine given where we play and who Florida State is, but that is the reality. I think the biggest thing now, Ira, is they are no better than, I mean, if we want to be overly optimistic, they're no better than I'll be really optimistic, okay? What are they're no better than a
– What are the Cowboys doing here, Jeff?
Well, they're kicking a field goal, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, I'm a little bit behind you, but it was 3rd and 3, and they let like 15 seconds run off the clock.
Yeah, they're bringing out the kicker.
But why wouldn't they just run another play? It's not like a chip shot.
No, I don't know. I don't know. Well, they're gonna say if they had a bad snap or something. Ira, you know these guys.
I guess. Anyway.
Hey, I just watched this doddering old man that is Bruce Arians.
I love how you and Tom are killing Bruce Arians.
Oh, dude.
You know, 8 months after winning a Super Bowl.
No, but we killed him during it. His time management is the most embarrassing thing in football. It's like he's never, ever done it before. It's bizarre. He gives points away every game just by not knowing how to deal with time management. But anyhow, here's the thing. You take the good and the bad with old doddering Bruce. Clearly, they love him and they play hard for him, and free agents come to play for him. And so, you know what? You're going to win a Super Bowl, and you just did, and all that. You got to take that. But just know that in-game management, not a strength. Not a strength. But that said, let's going back to, I guess, where Florida State's at. You know, what happens now is, outside of this interminable bitch fest, you do end up in a situation where you now have to plot the course moving forward, and you have to have a realistic vision of how that works. And you know, I can't imagine Mike right now who has to realize that even though he can't get fired at the end of this year, it's unlikely that he could be fired at the end of this year. He has to know that, in essence, he's created a situation where, for the most part, he's a dead man walking. I mean, he has no support now. There's no fan. I shouldn't say there's none. Very few people who can look out on that field right now and believe in what they're seeing. And then from there, you wonder about how soon he begins to lose players, both in this recruiting class, which is actually his savior. That recruiting class, if somehow he was to keep it intact, could save his bacon. But you really are in a position through 3 games now to have lost all of it. And I just wonder what you do moving forward. Well, for starters, you have to find an identity. You have to be something. They don't know what they are. They don't know what they want to do. It feels like they're panicked. And, you know, I don't have a lot of great answers here because some of their personnel is not real good. But I would say that you're better off losing a bunch of games but finding an identity and playing to it each week to give yourself a fighting chance to be in the game in the fourth quarter.
What could you see from the TV angle? I know sometimes you can't see much of the defense. But Wake Forest played 6 in the box like almost the whole game. And Florida State just never really decided to run at it. Like, they went 4 wides a lot. I'm sure if they had subbed, you know, Wake Forest would have changed their grouping a little bit. But it felt like they had numbers to run, and they just didn't do it. Now, they didn't run great when they did. But it just feels like when you look at the quarterback play and the wide receiver play, and what we've seen what this running game has done over the first few games, it just seems odd that they're not more committed to that. Trayshawn Ward was, I think, on the field. I looked at the Pro Football Focus. I think he was on the field like 17 snaps. Now, they only got like 50 snaps. They were not on the field because they kept going 3 and out or turning it over.
6 turnovers to do that.
Yeah, and then also, you know, give up long, sustained drives on the other side. But, you know, he was on the field for like 17 snaps. I think Corbin was on the field for 28 or 29. That's the thing that I don't – you know, Trayshawn, he had the touchdown drive where he had the long run and then – the catch for a touchdown, and then, you know, he didn't play again for another quarter. And that's, you know, again, that's the it feels like they don't have a good handle or a good feel for what this team could be, to your point about the identity. Like, it feels like they don't have a good feel for what they have, and they do have some things. And then the bomb to Keyshawn Helton. I mean, I'm not sure, I'm not saying that was the only call in that play, but, you know, that's on Milton. I don't know how you think he's going to make that play.
It's a curious route for him to run. But I would say this too. If you can't – listen, I know they don't trust their offensive line. But they do. They have shown that they can run the ball. To some degree, they can run the ball. What they've not shown is that they can do anything in a drop-back passing game at all, because they cannot block it up. And so I just think you have to fall back on that, because your two best players in that situation are Ward and Corbin.
Yeah.
And I'm going to run my offense to them. You know, I'm going to run like, you don't have elite tight ends. You don't have a very good offensive line. Your quarterbacks are substandard. Your receivers are young and inexperienced and not real talented. With the exception of maybe, I think Malik McClain has a chance to be a real good player down the line. But you don't have a lot you can fall back on, but you better find something, because this willy-nilly, we want to run this, then we're going to be this thing, then we're going to be this other thing, that's not going to get it done. I'd rather lose games and have an identity and play to it and give yourself a fighting chance to capitalize on other teams' mistakes. I think your front four is good on defense, by the way. I think they were exhausted. They were on the field so often.
And overall, man, I might be wrong. It might have looked different on TV, but I thought for the most part, at least until the end, I mean, I thought the guys on defense played, even they tried to compete. I never felt like that these are guys just going through the motions, which you felt like a lot of times the last few years. So that's a good sign. And there was I got a little sideline watching for you, Jeff.
There you go. Here we go.
I saw one cool thing where it's kind of late in the second quarter, I think, where Jamie Robinson went over to Adam Fuller on the sideline and kind of like put his arm around his shoulder and was asking him a question about how they're playing something. And, you know, at that point, they'd already given up 24, 27 points or whatever it was. So at that point, you're looking, okay, are the players listening when the coaches are instructing them? Here's a situation where you got a DB going to the coaching staff and asking, you know, how should I be playing this, or what should we be doing? I thought that was a really good sign. And for the most part, I did thought they, until the end, I mean, towards the end, you could tell on the sideline guys were done, which, you know, that's, you know, you got to watch going forward. But that, so for that part, if there's anything that's been progress, and I think Norvell said that yesterday when Corey might ask him, or Chris Nia, somebody asked him, have you seen progress? And he mentioned, I think the effort, not from everybody, it was cool they pointed that out, not from everybody, but the effort from some guys is what we want.
They've got some guys, Ira. They've got some guys that are sticking their head in there and playing hard. I don't think they quit. I disagreed with some people that I heard say that they thought they quit. I don't think they quit. Mm-hmm. I've seen Florida State teams quit the last few years.
Oh yeah,
I know what that looks like. I don't think this team quit. They're not very good, and they make mistakes. And you know, I've said to Tom a lot on my show. I've said.
I would. If they got a top 10 recruiting class and
he'd give up red stripe
for a year, buddy. For a year. Yeah. I've got a couple other beers I like.
I would just sling you by some Sam Adams. I know you like Sam Adams, so I would just drop it off. Yeah. Hey, so I think there are some guys, and you gotta identify those guys that are fighting, that are still in. You know, somebody asked me earlier today, I got a text, and I said, would you just go pure youth movement?
Right.
And here's the deal. What are you going to pull Jermaine Johnson off the field?
Yeah.
Of course not. There's some guys that are fighting for you, man. There's some dudes out there that you're going to pull zero. I mean, I don't think so. I mean, there's some guys fighting out there. You can't do that. Also, the message you send to anybody that you want to come into the transfer portal is, oh, by the way, if we suck balls again next year, your ass is on the bench after three games. You know, you can't do that. So, you know, I mean, there are guys, I think in that secondary, Ira, you can start looking at the younger guys. I would – Shaheem Brown would be playing a lot more. Knowles would be playing a lot more. I'd start to get a good look at those guys.
Another guy we didn't talk about much during preseason because he was hurt. He wasn't available until later in preseason. But Amarian Cooper, kid from Southwest Florida, is really impressive as a young freshman DB. So I would see he's a guy as well. It's tough, man. It's tough. It's easier to say that than it is to do it. And to your point, some of the older guys are buying in. It was interesting if you look at the PFF participation grades, I mean, like, or a number of snaps that guys played, they may have already been making some of those decisions because there were a few guys that didn't get a lot of snaps that have been playing a lot. I mean, on offense, Andrew Parchman played like five snaps. Travis Jay didn't play much. Marcus Cushney, one of those transfers, didn't play much. Now, maybe guys are banged up. We don't know. But you know, maybe there's, I mean, you watched film. I mean, I don't know how much film you watched in high school, but for a little while you were at East Tennessee.
Yeah.
I mean, I would assume you can see on film who's really
the all 22s will tell you exactly who's giving effort and who isn't. I don't think effort's a problem, Ira. No, they got bigger problems. You know, for people who join late maybe and they don't hear the beginning, I just want to reiterate, everything goes back to coaching. Okay. So we're not going to just be a broken record here and say that over and over again. All of this is the responsibility of the coaches. Yes, players have to play and they've got to make plays, and they're responsible for any number of things that we can point to and say they either did or didn't do. But ultimately, it does come back to coaching. And so nobody's trying to deflect away from the coaches. They have failed miserably. This coaching staff has failed miserably. There's no getting around that. Mike Norvell has failed.
Magnificently. I've been trying to think of that word for the last week. And when I was writing my column today, I failed magnificently is the way I would put it.
No, there's so many failures to go around. We'd just be throwing failures every which way. If we had like a failure flag, we'd just be throwing that shit. Just constantly throwing it. It'd just be failure flags every which way to Sunday.
Failure flags? What color is the failure flag?
Bright red.
Bright red.
You just throw it at their ass the second you see it. Just there's another failure there. I mean, there's a guy standing on the sideline. Sometimes he throws it at a player. Sometimes he just turns to Mike Norvell and throws it off his face. And it's just like one after the other. Like there's like another great play.
Like the Dexter Carter, just drop it on their head.
Oh, yeah. Just constantly. Like, hey, so we thought it'd be a good idea to run the quarterback who's got 1 foot. Yeah, let's do that. That's a good idea. So
12 guys on defense again, which I think again, two or three times in that game.
Yeah, no, man, you can – there's a lot. So, listen, ultimately, it is on the coaches. There's no question. There are some guys on this team that they're not getting stuff out of right now from. They're not getting things from right now. And I think – thank you, babe. I think my wife just gave me another beer. She can hear me in here knowing my frustration is mounting.
Yay, Christy.
Yeah. Ira says that – yay, Christy. She laughed. So, yeah, I mean, there are some guys that I think are talented that have opportunities to be better players.
Nickelodeon Slime, do you remember that from You Can't Do That on Television?
Yeah, man, absolutely.
That's a throwback. If they just had a contraption to drop slime,
just slime on up four. We got another one. Yeah. No, what happens when you become, and I'll use my favorite phrase, bereft of hope. When you become bereft of hope, there's just constant complaining, bickering, anger, frustration. It's all there amongst the fans. You have to try to find a way to avoid it amongst the players. I think anybody listening to this or watching this who, you know, ever played organized sports, let's just put it that way. You don't have to have played college football or professional football or whatever. If you just played organized sports, if you were ever on a really bad team, you know that if you're worth a shit at all, if you have any ounce of competitive fire in you, you don't quit. You don't quit. They want to win. They're still going to be out there fighting and thinking right. They can win and try. You gotta put them in a position to give them a shot, man. I mean, this staff.
I would say this team, again, more than the last 4 or 5 years, has competed through three games. I think they have competed, and so. You know, when you start asking, somebody asked at the very beginning, you know, which coordinator would you fire, offensive or defensive? You know, my only thought with you know, the only – to me, the biggest reason you would make a move maybe during the season for a coordinator, especially a defensive coordinator, I think, because the offense ultimately is Mike Norvell's, would be just a fresh voice or just a different way of teaching and communicating. Maybe that's it. I don't doubt that Adam Fuller knows what he's doing, but maybe these guys aren't understanding it. Maybe it's just the way he's teaching it. Maybe somebody else would be. I mean, that's the only thing. You know, again, we're just throwing stuff against the wall. You know, can something be salvaged? Because here's the thing, man. And you know, you touched on this. You know, when you were just saying being bereft of hope. I've had like a couple of conversations in the last week with like FSU fans who aren't even like the yelling fan,
right?
Not even the screaming, man, I paid my money and you should put a better product in the field and I hate you. These are like a guy I met today, super nice guy at the airport. He goes to the games by himself. He just loves Florida State football. He's, you know, not older, but you know, 60s, I guess. And he, not screaming or anything, but he's like, man, I think he's lost the fan base. You know, just talking like this. And
yeah.
Like, I really hate it, but I think he's lost the fan base. And it just stinks that like people care this much. And then you lose a game. And cause I've had conversations, you've had conversations like this. You have the angry screaming people. And then you have other people who are just sad. Cause this is their fun in the fall. what really sucks, and Corey touched on this briefly in his column about a half filled, half interested stadium. Wake Forest doesn't really even care, man. Like,
no,
their fan base doesn't really care. Their players did not act like this was a Super Bowl. This, they could have been playing Old Dominion again. They just went through the motions. Then after the game, while we're waiting to get Norvell on the field, they play Clausen's press conference. They always play his press conference on the big screen, which is cool. I don't know if FSU does it, but I think it's a good idea. But anyway,
we probably should wait a while. Let's wait a while.
Things get rolling. But yeah, but they always put up on the big screen, and most of their fans are already gone. They don't care. They've left. His press conference is like 5 minutes. There's like four reporters there. They ask him a few questions. They move on. They're going home to dinner. The fans, you know, it's just a diversion. And they kick your ass. And this is a program that pours so much money and effort and time and resources to being good because they do care. And FSU fans do care. This is their passion. And they don't – it's for Wake Forest, it's just a diversion. That's hard to stomach, man.
I was going to reference this earlier. When I was saying that, I've said this a lot to Tom. He's probably tired of hearing me say it. But one of the things that I've noticed about programs who fall in hard times and begin to spiral into a place where you think, what the hell are they doing? Is that invariably there's a moment early in a game where there's opportunity to garner some form of confidence. And it's usually pissed away by the team that has no positive view of itself. Doesn't really know how to make a play, or if they do, it's more about they're just hoping and wishing or whatever. You know, they throw away, they squander opportunities. Just how quickly that happened to Florida State in this game. I'm not saying they would have won the game, but if you go back to the Jacksonville State game, they got a touchdown. They got a walk-in touchdown, and he drops the ball. And you almost get a sense of, you know, and just well, sort of that. Game,
they get the fumble.
Well, that's
they
right.
fumble, they, and then they get the
they
fumble
get the interception.
Right back. Or the, yeah,
they got the interception right off the bat on a play where they likely interfered, by the way. So they don't get called for interference. They get the interception. You give the ball to arguably one of your most reliable and dependable players, who I like a lot.
And there's a big hole. It's a nice play.
Yeah, he's right up the gut, and he fumbles. Kid makes a nice play for Wake, puts his hand on the ball. But, of course, that happened, Ira. Yeah. Of course that happened, man. And – you know, and it's funny because Florida State doesn't earn – right now they've not earned. This coaching staff has not earned – I do feel for the players. The coaching staff has not earned an ounce of our sympathy or empathy. But they also got fucked over twice on really crucial calls that are terrible calls that lead directly to points, Ira. And I'm telling you, I know that when you have six turnovers and you get beat 35-14, people don't want to hear this. But that is a bullshit roughing call on the punter, and it's a complete and utter make-believe call on Jerrion Jones out of bounds.
Let me tell you that one. I know from TV everybody could see the roughing the punter one.
It's insane.
But on the one on the sideline, I don't know if people can see, is the referee that throws the flag can't see the play. Where he's coming from, there's just dudes on the sideline. And the tackle,
he just sees a dude fall down.
He hears the crowd and then looks. You can see it, like, looks around and sees the guy on the ground and throws the flag. And it's like, dude, if you didn't see it, how do you know the guy didn't just trip? I mean, we're just flop. But yeah, man, to that point, they're not. That's not the reason they lost. Those plays are not the reason they lost. But it's like this team can't even get a break. Like they can't even. They can't even, you know, like you said, they get a turnover right off the bat, and they can't take advantage of it. They turn it over. They're playing hard, and they, you know, he didn't throw the guy down. He just
went
and he's holding him.
And Ira, they're getting off the field there, man. And I'm telling you, again, it's when you're a bad team, and they are a bad team, and when you've been bad for a number of years, and they've been bad for a number of years, you need some good things happen to you to begin to turn that around. And you've got to make your own luck and all of that. I get it. It's not excuse making, but man, that is horseshit. You can't call that. You really just killed that team in that moment. Florida State's going to get the ball back. They're moving the ball. They 20-20, they moved the ball. Yeah. They were situationally abysmal in this football game. And they've actually been really bad in the red zone, period.
And short yardage.
short yardage. Because, you know, one of the reasons why is they can't line up and move people off the ball. Right. So they have to try to trick you. And they're not talented enough to just trick people, because if Jordan Travis is in the game, they know Jordan Travis is going to run the ball. By the way, he didn't look as nearly as explosive as a runner as he did a year ago. He's not right.
Or is willing. You know,
Something's not right. Well, because he knows he's going to get hurt. He always does. Yeah. And then there's that. Obviously, you can't run with McKenzie Milton. I mean, and why you're even trying is insane. So you have fewer options when the field shortens.
And that's why I asked about Chuba. And I'm not advocating for Chuba. I've told you off the air, from what we see at practice, I don't feel like Chuba Purdy's the answer right now. Maybe he will be in a year. But at least he would run with conviction. And they have to have that with the offensive line situation. And if Jordan can't do it, and if McKenzie clearly can't do it, then maybe you build something around Chuba. I don't know. Now you do get, you know, if they get Maurice Smith back and if they get Robert Scott back, which it seems like, you know, if Robert Scott was a game time decision, he's got to be really close. And it seems like Maurice Smith has probably got to get getting closer. You get those two guys back. You know, if the quarterbacks kind of find themselves where they were earlier, or you go to Chubb or whatever, you got some games. These are the games where you were supposed to be able to make some hay. Like, of this first three games, the only sure win was ever going to be Jacksonville State. Nobody predicted them to beat Notre Dame, and most people thought Wake was, you know, they'd have to play well to beat Wake Forest on the road in week three. So really, the only game they totally blown, was Jacksonville State. So if you could get right on the offensive line and the effort stays there on the defense, you know, Louisville at home, Syracuse at home, UMass, I mean, now you've got some games here where you maybe can at least get some of that confidence you were talking about. But it's just hard to see it based on the way the quarterbacks looked in that game.
Thank you, Eric, very much. Appreciate your contribution to the Sunday Smash, to what we're trying to do.
I love it a fireball. Do you like fireball?
I'll drink one with you if I had a – I don't have any here. I never – you have fireballs?
Yeah, I don't keep it at the house, but I like fireball.
You keep it, yeah. You're worried about it would call to you? Like you'd be sick.
it's a more social drink. I don't know if I'm doing it by myself. If you start doing fireballs at the house,
by yourself, yeah, you get some issues, you know. I think a lot of people wanted to do some fireballs midway through the third quarter. You know what's killer? What kills me is they get the stop to make it 27-14, which is a really big stop. Because in my mind, if you come out in the third quarter and score and make it 27-21, Ira, you got a chance to win the game.
That's why,
they got a chance to win the game. Time, yeah,
they had to be feeling great. And he said it. Like you talked about his emotions, he got excited when I said that. He was like, oh, I was confident. Like he thought they were gonna. I kind of thought it too. I was texting with Jim and a couple of our buddies, and I was like,
they got a chance.
This game's not over. They get the ball first. They do anything with this drive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, they could be, and they, you get the defense going.
Yeah. it is stunning. And of course they don't, because they never do. And so then that happens, and you know, I mean, I don't know, man. There aren't a lot of answers for this year. Winning four games and salvaging something in that recruiting class is going to have to be. What happens? That's going to have to be the best thing that can happen. I don't know if they can do it.
The one nice thing, and people are asking about Travis, and we'll see. But the nice thing about Travis Hunter is, and I think
this he's awesome. I love that kid.
That is a real nice thing.
Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah.
But as you know, Michael keeps pointing out, and I know the other recruiting people out there, they're saying the same thing, that this coaching staff hasn't sold these kids on the idea that they're going to turn it around. I didn't think that was something Willie sold early on when he took over and that first class that fell apart. You know, I think he thought it was going to be a quick fix. So that's what they were kind of selling. And then when the product stunk, I got to think a Travis Hunter and some of those guys who were pretty cocksure kind of kids, they're looking at this thinking, man, that ain't going to happen when I'm out there. You know?
Well, there's a lot of plays to be made that just simply aren't made. And even by kids that are in position, Ira, to make plays. And again, if you can get this infusion of, as you've noted, and I love the phrase cocksure, you know, if you can get some cocksure kids in here, that are not afraid and are willing to go make a play. That'd be nice. The problem is we've got 9 games left in this season. And we're talking about next year's class and hoping that there's a few of them that will say that they're on board no matter what happens. And I don't know that that's true. I mean, you're going to have to make progress this year. You're going to have to get better now.
Well, that's why these few games are big, man. These few games are big. I mean, it doesn't change the landscape of the program if you beat Louisville at home or Syracuse at home, but it's something positive. It gives you something to talk about. Right now, there's nothing to talk about. I mean, there's nothing like
no
other than, hey, this stunk. We're throwing slime on this guy. We're throwing a failure flag at this.
Failure flag, baby. Chucking him.
But there's nothing. I mean, there's not even bright spots. So if they could just get something good to happen, then maybe that kind of sparks some of that confidence. Because that's the thing, man. Like you and I touched on it in my column, when you watch Wake Forest in the conviction they play with, it's different. And they're not as good athletes. They're not as tall. They're not as fast. They're not as strong. Maybe some of them are as strong. But they believe in what they're doing. They know what they're supposed to be doing, and they do it 100%. There's no doubt. And they win 50-50 balls, and they make plays. And these guys, this FSU team doesn't have that kind of confidence. And it's hard to have confidence when you stink. I mean,
it's hard to have confidence when you stink. It's hard to have confidence when you've done nothing but lose since arriving.
Yeah.
And when you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. It just always feels like this is a group waiting for the other shoe to drop. And, that's on the coaches too. They've got to find a way to get these kids to play with. I mean, you've got nothing to lose at this point. You've hit rock bottom. I'm talking about on the field. Now off the field, you could lose that recruiting class and then you'd suck again next year, which you're probably going to suck again next year anyhow, but you would suck a little less if you could get some of those guys. But I don't know. I mean, you got to figure out what you are. You got to play to these kids that are bought in, that are over there on the sideline asking questions of coaches in game, and you've got to have, something to fall back on about what makes you you. They don't have that yet. I don't know. I mean, a lot of people have said here tonight that they should just fall back on Chubba Purdy. Ira, I know you've been at many more practices than me. When I'm out there, he's not impressive. When you're out there, he's not impressive. When none of us are out there, he's not impressive.
Well, maybe he is. We don't know.
I'm going to guess.
If Chubba Purdy's impressive in practice and nobody's there to see it.
Does it really happen? Yeah, I don't think so.
But I do think he would run with conviction. The most impressive things I see from him is when he tucks it and goes, and he's a football player. Like when he tucks it and runs,
he goes.
A football player.
Yeah,
and man, they need more football players. I'm not advocating for Chubba Purdy. I'm not saying that, but I just don't. McKenzie's got to be a little rattled. I mean, he looked rattled. I mean neither of those guys has been put in a good position. I mean, we haven't even talked about it, but what were they doing the first couple of series? I mean, I
don't know what the game plan was. I don't know.
It's just astounding.
So I said earlier, I said something along the lines of, I think they're rat trapping. I think the coaches are rat trapping. I think they're desperate. I think they're trying to do everything because they have nothing, which is the exact opposite of what you can do. When you are desperate, you start grasping at straws and you're hoping that something happens that creates a spark. But that's no way to live, man. Find a credo and fucking stick to it and be that thing, man. Do this over and over again. I'd rather lose being something. I'd rather just decide this is what we are. We may not be good enough. It's like Army doesn't just decide to go run 4 verts, because they're 0-3. Like, here we go. We're going to air it out this week, boys. We don't have the personnel to do this, but the other thing's not. No, that's not what they do. They're going to line up and they're going to run the option, and that's just the way it's going to be. And if it's good enough, it's good enough. It's not, it's not. But they know what they are, and they will fall back on it and run some things off of it. This team, through 3 games, does not have an identity whatsoever.
No, and you'll, there's plays here and there that work, like that little misdirection thing they were doing.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Wake Forest still hasn't figured it out.
No, they ran it. They ran the same play to either side back and forth. I was like, okay.
Blake's just like, all right, we got nothing for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they'll find these little things here and there, or they'll hit a couple deep balls, or they'll, but it's just, there's no sustained, consistent success that the players can, you know, hold on to. It's just it's dismal. To me, the offense was the bigger problem in this game.
I agree. Yeah.
But the defense wasn't good either. I mean, so, you know, we're weighing which was worse, and they were all bad.
A lot of failure flags being thrown every which way, just people being pelted with red flags. I really do feel like the defense, I know early they give up the bomb, but I really think they had a chance to be decent in the game if they're not on the field forever and we don't turn it over six times. And the offense just doesn't give them – I mean, I believe it or not, as much as I'm not impressed with the defense, I am really a lot more upset consistently so with this offense. And I just think they're herky-jerky. They're kind of all over the map, and you can't get a sense of what the plan is. I mean, I still don't know – I don't know what they went into this game hoping to do. I never really got a sense of what their goal. Now they may have been thrown.
I'm with Trill Valley. Get the ball in eight hands. Trayshawn. Yeah. I mean,
I agree. He's a good player.
I mean, what do you got to see?
Hey, listen, and that's actually something to bring up here. It was bullshit that Corbin fumbles and then he doesn't go back on the field for ages. By the way, that's not what you do. That's not what you do at all.
In fact, you bring him back and give him the next carry.
The very next carry, man. The very next carry. That kid is dependable. That kid is rock solid in terms of work ethic and buy-in and conviction and leadership and toughness. You don't do that. Don't do that to that kid, man. Get him the ball the next play. This is the kind of inconsistency and the frustration that we feel where you watch these things and you go, man, no. There are kids – who you don't ever want to see on the field again because of not just their poor play, but things they've done, either on the sideline, in practice, off the field, whatever it might be, where you say, okay, I can't trust that guy. He ain't one of them. Yeah. That's a kid you can trust every day. So that bothered me a little bit. They don't have anything to fall back on, and that's surprising. That is really surprising because I do think Mike works very hard. I do think Mike has a way of teaching the game that I agree with. Obviously, in-game decisions and play calling have been horrible. If he's not calling the plays, he's got to take that back over. There are some games you're going to lose because you're not good enough, but you can't be this. You can't just be desperately searching from series to series for some sort of identity without ever establishing something the week building up to it. And deciding this is how we're going to ride and die on Saturday. You can't do that. You can't just try to freelance it. And I know I'm oversimplifying it, but they're not, you know, for all the talk about how well organized they were, Ira, they sure don't look organized, do they?
No. And I mean, to me, there's two ways of going about kind of rebuilding a program there's probably a lot of ways, but two main ways, philosophies you can have are, this is what we do, and we're going to come in and run our system with whatever is there, because eventually we're going to get the players to run that system. I remember Dave Clawson got to Wake Forest.
Corey couldn't block it up.
It was like, dude, what are you doing? This isn't going to work. You don't have the players to do what you're trying to do. But he stuck with what he did. You can do – and, like, you know, I think different coaches – you'll see a coach come in with a spread offense and try to, you know, the other approach is, okay, I've got these players. What can I do to have some success until I get to the point where I can do what I want to do? And I don't know if I'm not, it seems like they're, I can't even tell you what they're trying to, I assume they're just trying to run what they want to run with what they've got, because they're not building it around what they have. Because if they were building it around what they have, it would look much different. You think about the backs. You think about what Jordan Travis is, a runner. I mean, they're not accentuating those things. So, so, you know, from a short-term standpoint, you know, it's been a huge failure, magnificent failure. I don't know that if he gets the players I mean, they had success at Memphis, and he was an offensive coordinator at Arizona State. And I'm not saying they lit the world on the fire, but he's at least been, Mike Norvell has been a Power Five offensive coordinator, and he's maybe the only guy in that staff that's coached at that level as a coordinator. I know, well, Kenny was last year, but I think that we know that was Gus Malzahn's offense. So I'm with you. I mean, maybe Norvell takes that back over. Maybe that helps solve some things. But the problem is, if he's spending so much of attention on that, then, you know, other things might slip. But the other problem is, and again, we can sit here and nitpick a million things because things aren't going well, but they spend so much time on special teams, and you're not seeing any results from that. They still block, they still get penalties on special teams. They're not great at returning. So what's the return on that investment? And maybe they'll come eventually, but, you know, you're just not seeing it.
Well, when you're 0-3 and you've lost the fan base, I don't know what the locker – we're not in the locker room, so I can't tell you that he's lost the players or not. Did Seattle actually lose this game?
Yeah, man. Tennessee kicked a field goal to win in overtime.
How did Seattle blow that lead? What the hell were they doing?
CBS switched to it when it was already tied, so I don't know how they blew the lead.
Tom, you had it on somewhere out there. You can type in the chat here how the hell that happened. What in the world? I looked over and this thing got weird. It doesn't matter to me. I didn't bet that game. I was not invested in that game. Actually, I had a good week. I had another good week. That's one good thing that's happening. What the hell were they doing? Question mark. A new War Chant fan T-shirt. I agree.
What do you think the crowd's going to look like Saturday for Louisville? I mean, some people, it's a home game. People might have trips planned. Any chance for something decent?
What do you want to put it over under?
60.
Under. Under 60,000.
That'll be tough.
I don't know how, I mean, if you were on the fence of coming to that game, and then you watch the first three.
So, I mean, that's the thing, like, as a school, as a fan base, as a program, I don't know where, I guess I don't know what people are supposed to be doing right now, like, besides going fishing on the weekends or something. Because none of us think that Mike Norvell should or will get fired. So you're not going to get that satisfaction of somebody's got to pay. Although, you know, Willie had to pay to the tune of getting $18 million to go away. But so you don't get that. And if the product doesn't get better, you just got to ride this out, man. This is tough, man. It's tough when you think about what people spend to go to games. What people spend, and, you know, to take these trips, it's
can't blame the fans or the boosters. No, you can't. It's nobody. You know, I heard Trev Albert say this about Nebraska, and he's an ass, but he's not wrong. His exact words were, "Nobody's coming to bail the Cornhuskers out. Nobody's coming to save us. Nobody cares. We're going to have to do this ourselves." Yeah. Yeah, that's Florida State. That's, by the way, the problem is Florida State's in a predicament, not just because currently the coaching staff is failing the players and the fans and the university, but, you know, they don't really have an athletic director. You got a brand new president. You're really in kind of limbo here. It's a tough situation. I don't know what else to do other than, you know, he's going to say it repeatedly and people are going to get tired of hearing it, but he's right. You just got to go to work and try to get better every day, find an identity, fall back on it, and try to win four games and salvage something in that recruiting class and go out there the next year and see if you can't begin to show some signs of progress, because clearly you're not showing that now. Now, you know, everything's in a vacuum. We're 0-3 right now. It looks like the worst program in football. But the truth is, if somehow you did show signs of growth during the course of the remaining 9 games, maybe you could build towards something next year. I don't know. It doesn't feel that way right now. It certainly doesn't. Yeah.
Tom asked for the best part of our weekend. Mine was, I'm going to brag on one of my kids. My oldest daughter, Molly, took the GRE.
Whooped its ass.
Apparently whooped its ass. So
that's what she does.
Which is so funny because when I was in, I remember being in college and one of my roommates was studying for the GRE and my mindset was like, why are you doing that? Like, what? I mean, look, he was so miserable. He was studying and I was like, man, I want no part of taking that test. And yeah, she's a little bit different. So yeah, she did real well. So it's going to help
her.
She wants to go to grad school and it's kind
good of, for her.
Yeah, really good for her. Anything good for you this weekend?
No, nothing. No, nothing good happened.
The Bucks won.
Yeah, well, they do that every week. You know, it's I've gotten bored with it already.
You spoiled Bucks fans. You're ripping your coach.
No. So no, I listen. Nothing bad happened other than that disastrous ass kicking on Saturday against Wake Forest. I guess the good thing that happened was I got to really chill out here. I didn't have to do a pregame show, which I normally like to do. But it was nice to have a break. It was nice to sit here and be with the kids, played some football in the front yard, did some yard work, watched a bunch of games, and spent time with the family. That was my big weekend. That's what I did.
Are the boys playing one-on-one, you quarterbacking? Or what? How are we doing the football?
That happens a lot. That happens a lot. But then the older one beats the younger one as old as time. Yeah.
So can you do something to kind of make that? Can you level the playing field a little bit as the all-time quarterback?
So it makes it worse when they get arguing with each other, and then the older one begins to physically muscle him around because he's pissed at the way they're jawing. I'm like, man, you already have an advantage. You know, you're 13. You're 5'11". You can already, you know, run and jump in a way.
He looks like an adult. I mean, physically, he looks like an adult now.
Yeah, it's silly with him. If anything, I hold him to a higher standard now because he is physically pretty talented kid. And I'm always like, oh, so what? You beat your 11-year-old brother by a few touchdowns. The youngest gets really indignant and really frustrated. And
so you don't like maybe throw it behind Bryce so the other one can get a pick or anything?
I got caught doing that. No, I purposely threw a pick six to Clark, and I pretended it slipped out. And Clark was like high stepping down the sideline. He was so, you know, like he had made a play. And then Bryce is like just staring holes through me.
Right.
You know, and it's like, come on, man. You know what you did. And I told him, I tried to give him that when the youngest isn't looking, I tried to look back at him. I'm just let it go.
I got this,
right? He won't have it. He's like, that's not a touchdown. You didn't score. just so you know, you didn't score. He's a little bit like I was at that age too, though, because I would be that way too. I'm like, that's bullshit. I shut you out. No, you know? And so, yeah, that's what we get. You know what though? Those are the good times. Sometimes you remember many years from now, and like they will, they don't know it yet, but yeah. So that was the highlight of my weekend. There wasn't much else to talk about beyond the fact that Bryce refuses to believe me that Florida State was ever really, really good.
It was in his lifetime.
Eight years ago, he was pretty disinterested. He was 5 or 6 or whatever. You know, he was like, whatever. He knew Dad had to fly out to Los Angeles to cover, a program that was doing something pretty good, but I don't think he really cared. Now, ever since he's been locked in and he cares, we're just garbage. That's what he gets to see. We're just garbage. And he says, you know, he's like, well, Dad, I don't see how they're going to get any better. I mean, we can't hire new coaches midseason, can we?
One of the last things that Tom had put up there before was about somebody saying, what's this recruiting class going to do? It's not like they can all start next year. And that's fair, but I would say that I feel like I think they signed some players in this class that are freshmen right now. Now they're not all playing, but some of them, you know, there's guys that are going to be players like Patrick Payton, we talked about Kevin Knowles and some of those guys they're going to be good players. And then some of these, you know, some of these other guys that are not playing great, you would think they'll continue to get better. But so much of it's going to be quarterback, man. They, whatever happens this offseason, whatever happens the rest of this season,
mm-hmm.
they can't get quarterback wrong again. I mean, they have to – it can't be spending a whole offseason building up a James Blackman or Jordan Travis. And if it's Jordan Travis again, then fine. But, man, they can't be wrong again. I mean, they've got to get somebody who can play quarterback because nothing else matters if you're not good at quarterback, unless you're, you know, Nebraska from – or, you know, Miami from the, you know, 80s or 90s or whatever. Or, you know, some team where you're just – so Geno Toretta can roll out there and throw for
and win a Heisman. Yeah. So we'll wrap it up with this. I like the question that was thrown up. And, you know, I think next week, guys, if Florida State loses, let's say if the Noles fall, I don't know, you know, 38-16. Let's just play a different game. Let's do something where maybe we play some sort of Jeopardy-like game or Trivial Pursuit. Maybe we just watch videos together. Could we do that? Could we set it up that we all just watch videos together of more satisfying things? Keep it on the up and up, everybody. But, you know, like, just really great movie roles and wonderful moments in Florida State history, perhaps, something like that. We can
what do they have to lose by for us to not – to just swear off Florida State football next Sunday?
Just not talk about it?
What do they have to lose by? If it's more than 12 points? If it's more than 10 points?
Oh, no. If they keep it within 10 points, come on now, Ira. What are you talking about,
home,
buddy?
At home against Louisville? Against Mighty Louisville, if they can keep Mighty Louisville within 10?
So I want to correct somebody on this thing here really quick. They said I lost a lot of cash this weekend. No, I won a lot. Whoever this guy is, you got to pay attention to my picks, buddy. Whatever. What's that, the one-hole? No, buddy, I kicked ass this week. I have continued to kick ass. That's the best part about this whole – this whole
year. Talking about the picks you post on Thursday?
Yeah. I went 6-3 or 7-3 in the picks I posted on Thursday. And then the money I got down with my bookie, I was, I think, 8-2. So, yeah, I've been fantastic. It's been the best start of my career.
The one game. So we got him right there.
Yeah. So there's the Alabama, Florida went over. Auburn, Penn State went under. Iowa State, Kent State went under. That's a win. That's a win. That's a win. Utah State won the game outright. That's a win. I lost the Florida State game. I lost the Miami game. I won the Broncos-Jags game. I won the Patriots-Jets game, and I lost the Dolphins-Bills. Now, buddy, I won a bunch of money, buddy.
Do you play the same amount on every game, or do you mess around with different wager sizes?
I mess around with different wager sizes, but I understand why you're asking. For the most part, I try to stay even across the board. I don't put more emphasis on one game than another. But yeah, but every now and then, when I feel like I really got a good one,
my best year, and I can't. I know, and we'll get off. I know we're wrapping up, but the best year I ever had in betting was when I worked at Vegas Insider back in the day, because I had all of our handicappers. Like, we had professional handicappers, real legitimate handicappers, not just guys that sell picks. And I would get their picks, plus I got their power ratings and all the information. And so I would bet based on – I kind of came up with a formula based on what they were doing that season. And I ended up I made a lot of money that fall. And actually, it's how I bought Kim's engagement ring.
Sweet!
Was my winnings from that fall. But I bet the same amount every single game whole year.
Because I felt like
if I started doing more in one game, then if it lost, then I'd be pissed, and I would try to make it up with another game. And so that's how I did. But I know most people do it the way – I think most people do it the way you're doing it.
No, and I understood why you asked. And I would say that even though as an aside, and you talk about removing emotion and all that, I had Florida State to win the game against Wake, and I clearly lost that game. I had us plus 5.5, but I also had the under. So our incompetence of the red zone – boom, baby, there we go. Got that win as well, so I'll take that. I don't know how much we want to talk about that on this show, but you can watch it on College Sportsbook. I'll have some games this week. I think we're gonna do Notre Dame and Wisconsin, and then I think we're probably gonna do a couple of other games. It's not a good slate this week, guys. I peeked ahead earlier today.
Not even from a fan perspective, or more from a gambling perspective.
From a fan perspective, there's not a lot of great games. Maybe from a gambling perspective, I'm going to sit down more probably when we get off the air here and look at some numbers and see what I like. But No, it's you know, it's funny, by the way, another side note here. I'm not I don't usually spend a lot of time with Florida State. I don't trust myself to be objective. I thought they'd come out and play hard in this game. They did. They turned it over six times. They made all kinds of crazy mistakes. So, you know, but they didn't quit. I didn't think they'd quit, and they didn't quit. That's a good sign.
You know, you could make a case that getting that the penalty on third down and then the roughing the punter are like turnovers themselves.
Oh, so that'd be seven. Yeah. Eight. Yeah. It's eight. Yeah.
I mean, you were going to get the ball and you just gave it right back.
But that, by the way, the roughing, the punter call.
It was ridiculous.
What are we doing?
The guy, and I didn't see as many replays. You might have seen more replays, but to me, it looked like the guy was falling before, like he was acting before he even got hit.
No, he did what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, and I'm not sure he even ever got hit. Did he get hit? Or when they when he landed? Maybe
there's like a bump, but no, it's the wrong call. It's definitely the wrong call when you call it a personal foul. Yeah. I'm not sure Florida State could have won the game with the silly mistakes that they made throughout, but I am telling you that those two penalties were massive. They did lead to points.
Yeah.
And Florida State would have had the ball.
They're not good enough to overcome anything like that.
No, they're not good enough. I actually think, and nobody wants to hear this, I actually think if those aren't called and Florida State goes down and scores on one of those two drives, you have a very different looking game. But this is what happens when you're a bad team, is that you don't get those calls and you're not able to overcome it. Emotionally, something happens, you're not locked in, whatever it is, you make mistakes, they go down and capitalize. Good teams do go down and capitalize on the benefits that they get. You know, you give a good team a second chance and they'll make you pay. And Wake Forest did. So, you know, I mean, kudos to them. I don't want to take anything away from them. They're a better coach team than Florida State is, and they certainly operate and function better than Florida State does currently. But I those two calls are a big deal, and it's not why they lost, but it's just a big deal. You can't make those calls. And I'm always one that, you know, I think you got to find a way to overcome that, and I don't blame officials. I don't tend to sit around and think about officiating incessantly. But, man, I saw that look on Mike's face. He knows they're not good enough to overcome that, and he knows how devastating that is. I don't know how he kept from getting run out of that game. Those were some devastating calls. I know you tried to set him up, by the way, Ira, but he wouldn't take the bait. It was well done on your part.
I try. And then the other play, and I know we're wrapping it up. Sorry, Tom. But when they sent, and people are making fun of Norvell for making Jordan Travis lay down like he was hurt.
Right.
But what in the world is that? The referees decided Jordan Travis needed to come out of the game. Like they felt like he was.
Yeah, he thought he was hurt. Yeah.
So, but you don't call an injury timeout. You just make him start limping off with 20 seconds on the clock and the play clock still running. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I don't get it, man. I'm not saying Florida State got screwed, but it the officiating in this league is terrible. And
when you're
a bad football team, you can't have things like that going against you, especially when they're just kind of made up. But anyway.
Well, they did just make it up. Hey, man, I know we went long this time. We had a good time talking with you guys. I would remind you to like and subscribe and pass it around. I can't promise, like I tried to last week, I can't promise that Ira and I are going to have better things to talk about with this football team. I'd like to believe they're going to play better. I don't know if that's true. We'll see, Ira. I mean, we may be discussing another damn loss every week.
Or we can talk about a true crime podcast, maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
you know, maybe a documentary we're watching. Kim and I just watched one the other night that I don't know if you'd be interested in, but yeah, we'll figure out something to talk about.
Yeah, I watched the Sons of Sam documentary on Netflix the other night, and the cop in North Dakota is my favorite cop in history. It was fantastic. He was ridiculous, and I posted a picture of him.
I saw that.
Yeah, no, it was just the best. I was like, look at that. That guy is awesome. Anyhow, so yeah, we can start talking about documentaries. We can start talking about childhood dreams and wishes and things that came true or didn't. We can talk.
or next careers.
Oh my God! Good work out of you, Tom, back there producing this thing and putting up with this. Hey, thanks to all of you guys for watching. Yeah, thanks to everybody who watched. Hang in there. Deep breaths, man. Deep breaths. It is brutal. But we do appreciate you watching us. So like and subscribe and all that. For Ira Shafell, yeah, cheers, buddy. Cheers. Enjoy your evening, everybody. And we'll talk to you soon. Be good. Care.